Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Red Phone Zone. I am your host, Aaron. I don't have Ethan here with me, and I don't even have Chad here with me because this is a special circumstance. I don't know if I want to call this Confessions of a Movie Snob or a Soapbox Standoff, but what ended up happening is, as you know, if you've been listening to the show, I've been very, very, very much looking forward to the Green Lantern since issue zero. So it's been a constant theme throughout everything that we've been doing here. And I saw it and I liked it. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about that. But the reason that I'm actually doing this now and why I'm doing it as a standalone kind of thing is because, as you guys know, I have my feelings about superherohype.net. And they posted a gentleman by the name of Edward Douglas posted a review on there. And I had some questions about it. So I reached out and I asked Edward if he'd be on the show. And he said he would. So welcome to the show, Edward.
Oh, thanks, Aaron. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, the way that this is going to pretty much work is we're just going to be talking a little bit about the movie, but I actually want to talk more about film criticism in general, because you actually are a film critic. You're not a guy that just has his own little silly web show. So I want to just talk to you a little bit about it. So
sure.
To get started with, what are your credentials, Edward?
Okay, well, I didn't go to film school. I didn't go to film study school. I've been a writer for about 26 years. Actually, believe it or not, I actually started by reviewing comics. Actually, back in the mid-90s, I was actually a comic book reviewer for a couple sites. And so I get comics and I basically write reviews that week. And so that's why I started writing for the web a lot. And then, like, 10 years ago, I just started writing about movies. I like movies. I'm a pretty big movie buff. Not the biggest, but I do watch a lot of movies. And I started writing a weekly column at a site, and I started writing reviews of movies I saw because I just naturally see a lot more movies than normal.
Sure.
And eventually, I ended up becoming soon. I've been becoming soon for about 8.5 years now. And, as a critic, I'm in the New York Film Critics Online, which is a pretty localized a critics group, and I'm also in the Broadcast Film Critics, which also does the vote for the Critics' Choice Awards. That's a fairly new thing. I'm actually just joining that this year. So,
yeah, that's excellent. And I actually did find you on Rotten Tomatoes, and I found you pretty quickly on a web search. So there's at least some legitimacy in what you do, unlike what we do. But
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'm going to ask you a few questions just to kind of get a feeling for you, and then maybe we'll just get into the meat of this discussion. I guess my first question for you is one that I actually heard on, maybe Carson, maybe Leno, something like that. But it was asked to Siskel and Ebert, and that question was, if you were stuck on a deserted island with only one movie, what would it be?
God.
It's rough, isn't it?
Probably, Brazil is my favorite movie of all time. Mm-hmm. Terry Gilliam's Brazil. So, I think I'd probably do, if I could definitely do the 3-DVD set or for Blu-ray or something like that, I'd go with that. I mean, hopefully I'll have a DVD play as well.
Oh, yeah.
They never really include that in that whole desert island thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the disc, it's like, oh, I don't have enough players, so it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But, I think probably Brazil, because I've seen it a lot. I mean, it is my favorite movie. I feel like it's something that I could probably, if I had to watch one movie over and over again, I could do that one.
Excellent. Yeah, you're talking the 3-disc. You're talking the Criterion one, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was like literally my first DVD, and it was literally the reason I bought a DVD player.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I saw that disc, and I was like, wow, I have to have this. I better get the DVD player so I can watch it.
Yeah, cool. I guess my next question is there's some movie snobs out there, and everybody loves to tout the Citizen Kane's, Gone with the Wind, stuff like that. And they're great movies, but, also we all have our favorite guilty pleasure movies. What would you say is your favorite bad movie?
Oh, favorite bad movie? Oh, God. I think I have to say Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. But, I don't know what it is about that movie, but I don't think I even liked the first movie that much, but like something about that movie, about when I saw it, about who I saw it with, and it was just kind of like something about that movie just really kind of stuck with me. And for some reason, that's like the one I always go to just because I still kind of enjoy it. I still kind of think it's just really, I think they were kind of making a different movie than people were expecting, and I just kind of liked it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, hey, just a movie doesn't have to change the world for it to be enjoyable. And so that's great. Well, actually, I'm gonna ask you my loaded question.
Okay.
I'm gonna ask you this because I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I'm gonna ask anyway. Is there a difference between opinion and film criticism? And if so, what is it?
Oh, okay. Let's see. I mean, opinion. Yeah, no, I definitely think there is. I mean, opinion. I mean, everyone has an opinion. That's just fact. Everyone has an opinion. They can go see a movie and they can say, I liked it, I didn't like it. You know, they can say whatever. They can say, you know, but film criticism gets a little deeper. It gets into why you didn't like it and why you like parts of it, why you didn't like parts of it. I feel that, I mean, at least in my case, I get fairly analytical. I mean, I'm looking at all aspects of the film process. I mean, and I think, you know, sometimes my rating is a little bit higher than most people because I kind of like rate. I mean, I kind of rate a lot of different things. I rate cinematography. I rate the storytelling, dialogue, acting. Yeah, you know, I take a lot of things into account when I see a movie. It's not like a like hate thing. I mean, there are movies I absolutely hate. There are movies I absolutely like. But most movies end up somewhere in between. You know.
Yeah.
And
you just nailed an important thing to me because it's something that I don't know that I could be a full-time film critic. And I say that because, yeah, there's movies I love and I hate, but, you know, I would say 99% of them are movies that I've termed the phrase that I nothing. I just don't care about them. I mean, you know, they neither please me, they don't make me angry. I mean, they're just, you know, it's like I've seen, we do movie reviews on the show, and I have seen stuff like Thor, and I saw Pirates 4 and, you know, just stuff like that. And I just don't want to go through all the effort of making the review because I don't particularly have anything to say about them. I mean, they're fine. You know, they were what they were. They weren't the worst movies I've ever seen. They weren't the best movies I've ever seen. And I think that might be where the burden of a film critic lies is because, you know, you just sometimes have to talk about stuff that you don't care about.
Believe me, yeah, that's, I mean, you got it right there, that's one thing people don't realize, is that, like, I see a lot of movies that I normally wouldn't see or care about. Like, for instance, I went to see Judy Moody, and I ended up not writing a review anyway, I ended up hating it, but, like, I went to see it because as a film critic, I feel like I need to have some, I mean, I feel like you need to have an opinion about these movies because you're writing about them regularly, and you have to kind of know, one of the things about, like, you know, we'll get into this, but one of the things about the commenters is a lot of times they attack the reviews even though they haven't seen the movie.
And
so they're kind of like,
which is one
of the things we're getting into. But the thing is, like, one of the things is, like, I can't really do that. If I'm you know, talking about movies and people have to believe me that I know what I'm talking about, I have to see a lot of movies, a lot of different kinds of movies, and I need to have a lot of good comparisons between them. So that means I end up seeing a lot more movies than I end up, you know, wanting to see or caring to see, and a lot of movies I don't even end up reviewing, but just, you know, you can, it's easy to form opinion, form criticism and kind of get that when you have comparisons. It's always, and you'll see my reviews, I do tend to do comparisons just because it is easier to explain where I'm coming from, you know, if I have something like something that someone has seen to compare it to.
And that's something that I find that is such a fine line to walk with, you know, as a film critic. And, you know, some people do it well, some people do it horribly. You know, it's just like, you don't go watch Judy Moody and say, you know, this sucked because it wasn't, you know, Gone with the Wind or whatever. I mean, it doesn't work like, it just does not work like that. And I also think that as something that people, I don't know if they're unaware of it or if they don't care or what's going on, but that they don't give critics the, they don't think about the fact about all the movies that they've seen, you know, because, you know, you can, you know, you look at somebody that's seen, you know, 100 movies and they're gonna, you know, how do I put this? If you've only seen, you know, if you've seen, you know, Casablanca and Citizen Kane, and you can form opinions of those two movies. And but if you've only seen, you know, Catwoman and you know, Green Lantern, then, you know, obviously your views are going to be a little bit different because, you know, there are absolutely movies that I've seen, you've seen, I would think everybody's seen, that changes their view about the way a movie is made. And if you haven't seen that movie, then you can't really apply that, which is something that I don't think critics are given enough credit for. Because
I'll give you an example. Like, for instance, like The Social Network.
Yeah,
I mean, that was, like, obviously one of the best reviewed movies not only of last year but for a long time.
Sure.
And the thing is, the reason that all these critics agree about it is because they've seen so many movies, and that movie stood out so. I mean, it was like whether or not you like the content or the characters or anything like that. I mean, the way the movie was made and the craft and, like, you know, there was nothing else like that. And that was kind of very much, you know, you had a movie which literally defied comparisons. And that's like, and that actually does, I mean, that does end up doing, you know, critics like that. I mean, that's like, to be able to see a movie that you haven't seen before after seeing 400 movies is like huge. It's real, you know, a huge thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, in a world of sequels and reboots and remakes and everything, I mean, it's refreshing to see something that's, you know, that's new. And, you know, I can't agree with that more. The reason that I got a hold of you was because I read your review. Whether or not I agree with you or not isn't particularly relevant. I will say that for the most part, I do agree with you. I think I probably liked it a little bit more than you did, but mm-hmm. I'm also the kind of person that if I put a lot of energy into something, I'm not going to allow myself to hate it. And so I've been looking forward to this movie for 2 years, and so I'm not going to hate it. But, you know, I'm also, you know, I'm not going to say it's the best comic book movie that's ever come out. It's also not the worst. Mm-hmm. But the reason that I ended up contacting you, because I just basically had a few questions about things that you said in the review and and things like that. And maybe we can even get into maybe some of these. Why don't we be nice and call them posters instead of flamers on the sites?
But, okay.
When I looked at it, you say there's basically two things that jump out. Well, three that jump out at me. First thing I want to say is I'm going to quote you directly from the article. It says, Mark Strong is such a good actor, and he seems wasted under a spectacularly terrible makeup job playing Sinestro. The erratic relationship between him and Hal bears a little resemblance to what has worked so well in the comics. Now, I have actually several things to say about that. The first thing I want to ask is, and everybody, I have nothing but respect for Edward. I've been reading stuff that he's been posting online, and he's got integrity, and you know, he's willing to back up what he's saying. So that's why we're having the conversation.
Well, what's the question? I mean, I'm dying to hear these questions. What they're going to be? So
okay, it's a mistake that I find critics make far too often, and it's when they say stuff like somebody is too good of an actor for a role. I'll use examples for you really quick.
Okay.
I don't know what you thought about the movie, or even if you've seen it, but Showgirls. And you look at a role like Jennifer Hudson, and in my opinion, that was one of the better performances in a long
time. You mean Dreamgirls, of course.
What did I say?
You said Showgirls.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, wow, I think Jennifer Hudson had been like 12, and I was like, wow, that's really wrong.
Okay. My bad. Dreamgirls.
Okay,
Jennifer Hudson turned in a performance in that movie that, you know.
Yeah, because I get where you're coming from. So basically, I'm not saying that Mark Strong is too good to play Sinestro. That's completely, I am actually a huge, huge Mark Strong fan.
And I believed that. And in reading that, I understood that.
Yeah, but to the point of, I actually interviewed Guy Ritchie for Rock and Roller, which Mark Strong was in.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie, and Mark Strong is great in it. Yep. I was actually telling Guy Ritchie, on the record, I kept it in the interview, that I thought Mark Strong should get an Oscar nomination for Body of Lies. Did you see Body of Lies?
Fantastic movie.
Fantastic movie. Mark Strong, it ended up bombing, and no one cared about it. But Mark Strong was so good, because literally, you could not tell the character he played in Body of Lies, I mean, you couldn't tell it was the same actor who played the guy in Rock and Roll, Archie in Rock and Roll.
Right.
And I think he's such a good actor. I was telling Guy Ritchie what a great actor he was, and that I thought he should get... He hadn't seen Body of Lies yet. I actually saw it like actually early, so I was kind of already. But anyway, but he's a great actor. He's one of my favorite actors. He appears in movies like The Eagle and like No Way. You know, what was the one with that Peter Weir recently? There's another recent movie. But he appears in movies often for very small scenes, and he's amazing in them. And I personally thought I was looking forward to him playing Sinestro. I thought it'd be a great. I thought it'd be like the best part of the movie. I thought it'd be like Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. And I felt like,
ooh,
maybe not that good, but anyway, I figured because of the makeup really, it was like, it kind of looked like him, but not the character, but not really.
Sure.
And then I felt like, I mean, the way he was playing the character was kind of like, I'm used to two Sinestros. I'm used to the classic Silver Age Sinestro, which the villain shows up, fights with Hal Jordan, that's it. And I'm used to the Secret Origins one, which is kind of like he was sort of Hal's mentor, and then things happen that basically turn him bad.
Okay.
Are we allowed to go into spoilers for Green Lantern here, or is that like...
Yeah, go ahead. It's been out for a couple of days.
Okay. Yeah, because that's one of the things. I really felt like that in Secret Origins, they really... And actually, in all of Geoff Johns' comics lately, they've created this really great relationship between those characters.
Yep.
And I felt like they had that to work from. They could have used some of that in the movie, and I felt like they really kind of just made it like, oh, I don't like you because you replaced my friend, and then, like, oh, I'm going to create a yellow ring, and I'm going to put it on, and... I mean, there's nothing really of Sinestro in either any of the comics that made me think that this is the same Sinestro from the comics. So it was kind of like Mark Strong, an actor I really liked, playing a version of Sinestro, which was completely foreign to me. And I didn't like the makeup. I thought the makeup was just, like, really kind of strange. I mean, I figured they could have even gone further and made, like, the nose and the chin and the whole thing. And they kind of didn't. They made it kind of just you know, he's like a human with a red face and, you know, bald, you know.
And so, no matter how you slice it, Sinestro is pretty silly looking. You know, they had to do something, I guess. And I get what you're saying. I mean, don't get me wrong. Mark Strong is one of those actors with an awful lot of integrity. And I don't think that he wanted to play Sinestro so much as he wanted to play Mark Strong's idea of Sinestro, which is what every actor should want to do.
That's the only reason actors take a role like this, because they have a take on the character and they think that they could, you know, do something. And you know what? I mean, I personally have confidence Mark Strong probably had a great idea for Sinestro, and I'm sure he was limited by, you know, the script and the director and a lot of elements that, like, were, I mean, the thing is, I mean, he didn't write the script. He kind of, like, was just giving the most he could out of the role. And again, it really hurts me to criticize him so much, because I am such a huge fan of his, you know?
And see, my idea here is that you say that he was, you were expecting him to be your favorite part of the movie.
Absolutely.
And to me, he was my favorite part of the movie. That doesn't mean that it was, you know, it was earth shattering, but getting into spoilers. Obviously, I personally got chills when he put on the yellow ring. I thought that was awesome. But at the same time, I do understand what you're saying, but I get you. I get you.
You know, that scene, that kind of like Easter egg scene?
Yeah.
I wanted to see that as part of the story. I thought he mentions the yellow ring early.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, I thought that it would be more into that story. I thought that the first movie would kind of like have Parallax, but also have Sinestro kind of changing. Yeah. And when all the change was him putting on the yellow ring and kind of like his eyes lighting up yellow, I was like, that was it, really? That's all they're getting? And then, you know, I felt like it was really missing. A lot of it's been done with Sinestro in the comics, so.
Oh, sure. And, you know, I actually intended to look up box office for this so far, and it wasn't doing horribly. It wasn't doing great last time I checked. I do really, really, really want a sequel now. I want to see Yellow Ring Sinestro, and I want to see what goes from there. And I'm sure you've heard Martin Campbell is not doing the sequel.
I hadn't heard that. I didn't hear if that was definite or not.
Yeah, he will not do the sequel. And obviously, they're never going to bash anything, but it really came across as a troubled production. And I hope that they get their shit together and we get a good Sinestro movie. I mean, because...
No, I think so, too. I mean, again, you know what I mean, but then if you read the rest of the review, you'll see that I mean, Mark Strong was the best part of the movie because I had problems with everyone else even more. So.
Oh, sure.
So it's kind of, I mean, even Ryan Reynolds I had problems with. So it's kind of like, I feel like, you know, Mark Campbell, actually, Casino Royale was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I just watched it over the weekend. Casino Royale was amazing, and I watched Quantum of Solace, and it's like it didn't work as well, obviously. And so I just hope they get a director who can, you know, maybe see the problems and work on those. You know, I want to see a sequel. I'd go see a sequel. I'm a huge comic book fan. So these, you know, any... You know, I don't bash these things, you know, happily. So
I felt your pain when you're actually writing it, because I could tell you wanted to read it so much.
Yep.
And then my second question, it's going to tie into my first question a little bit. He says, unfortunately, the idea that Geoff Johns' Secret Origins would be used as a template are dashed fairly early in favor of a blueprint that comes from the previous comics hits Iron Man, Spider-Man. While the general story structure is the same, the movie fails to avoid some of the biggest pitfalls that come with comic book movies, because often what works great when being read does not work when you have the same words recited by actors. There is no caliber of actor that could make the big cheesy speeches that permeate this movie work. And then, in the previous statement about Sinestro, you said that the relationship between him and Hal bears very little resemblance to him and has worked so well in the comics. How do those two ideas mesh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what I said earlier. It's like, Secret Origins and Geoff Johns basically created, one of the things that he had been working on when he came on the books, he kind of did Secret Origins, which kind of told the story of, like, kind of a little more elaborate story of how Hal Jordan became Green Lantern. And Sinestro was very much involved in that, which was never the case with the earlier telling of it.
Right.
And then, obviously, Sinestro has been was a big part of, you know, there was the Sinestro Core stories, and I mean, they really done a lot to kind of build him as a character. But I was really hoping that there would be, that Sinestro would come to Earth and he would be helping Hal Jordan learn to use his ring. And that's pretty much what it is. It's like I felt that a lot about Green Lantern the movie was very much using a template that was used in those other movies. I feel like there's like, for instance, there was the Spider-Man had the training sequence. It's about, you know, 15-20 minutes of training. so did Green Lantern. Yeah. Iron Man had things like, I mean, Iron Man wasn't, it's a very different movie, but it's a similar type character. He has a similar type, swagger as Tony Stark. There was a scene in Green Lantern which literally was swiped from Iron Man, which is when he's flying the jet plane, and he flies too high, and it frees up, and it starts going down to Earth. Yeah. Literally taken directly from Iron Man. And things like that. I mean, if I actually watched the movie again, and actually watched it and made little notes of exactly what was taken from which, I could see that there was a structure which was taken right from those movies. That really it's been done a lot, and I feel like, I think Green Lantern should be its own thing. It's not going to be Iron Man. It's not going to be Spider-Man. I mean, that's DC would be the first people to admit that. And I feel like Secret Origins was such a good. I was told before that Secret Origins was going to be by Martin Campbell, no less.
Oh, yeah?
I was told by Martin Campbell that Secret Origins was going to be the basis for the movie.
Oh wow.
So the thing is, for me to, if you go back and read Secret Origins,
I've read it many times. It's a great story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great story. It's like, and you read it, it's like, well, that's not the Sinestro that they, the Sinestro is really very different.
Oh, yeah. So, sure. I hate to play the tired old idea that it's studio involvement, but, you got to think that when something like that happens, because Martin Campbell can make a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
He can make awful movies, but, it just seems like when he's more left to his own inventions, he does better. So,
I'm not sure if it's studio. I'm not sure if it's, if it's a combination of DC kind of wanting to, this is an important movie for DC and Warner Brothers. I don't know if you know that, but Warner Brothers, maybe it was last year, were saying that, after Harry Potter ends, they were relying on these movies to be their bread and butter. So they obviously wanted to create multiple franchises. They can't just rely on Batman, Superman. They want to have Green Lantern and Flash, and they want to have a lot of characters out there that they can, they can be like Marvel. They can have like two movies a year and keep people reading comics. But I think it's a combination of seeing what they need to match up to and kind of like saying, okay, this is what we need, but then like kind of missing the bigger picture, which is just like, the thing is, like I said before, if you something that can be, some of the dialogue would probably read great in a comic book.
Oh yeah.
Some of the stuff you read a comic and you're like, wow, that's really cool. There's a really cool thing. There's a cool thing here. But then when you actually hear people saying it, it's kind of like when that opening thing of Jeffrey Rush, it was just like, I mean, the first thing that hit me was like, oh my God, if I wasn't a comic book fan, I immediately would have tuned out. Because I was a comic book fan. I was reading that big speech at the beginning. I was like, who's this for? I can't imagine anyone who's not a comic book fan is going to like watch this and go like, really? This is the movie I just paid to see? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I absolutely understand what you're saying with that. I guess now I'm just going to kind of get into broader strokes, broader ideas. When you wrote this, you say, and I mean, I guess people can read your review. When I actually put this up, I'll put a link up to it so they know what the heck we're talking about. But in your analysis, you say, as a lifelong comic book fanboy and a more recent Martin Campbell apologist, there's been a strong chance that my expectations and hope Green Lantern would do for DC Entertainment what Marvel Studios has done. Marvel Comics characters could very well supersede my critical judgment. With that idea in mind, how do you approach a movie like this that you have so much more invested in than if you're just going to go see a movie out of the blue that you know nothing about? I mean, are you able to separate that out of yourself, or would you even want to?
That's a really good question. And it's one of those things that, like, I mean, obviously from reading my review, yes, I was able to separate myself. I think in general, I could have been like, oh boy, it's Green Lantern movie. I'm so happy I can trash it. But that's the whole point. I have to be honest when I'm reviewing stuff. And when I'm watching a movie, I can, like, the thing is that because of being a critic, I'm watching a movie and there are things like dialogue, when something doesn't ring true or something doesn't really when something doesn't ring true to me as a critic, it just sets off an alarm.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, so watching this movie as a, as someone who does have the background as a comic fan, that as soon as that stuff goes off, it's like automatically like, okay, well, yes, I'm a comic book fan, but also I'm reviewing a movie and the movie, but it's not working either for me as a comic book fan or as a film critic. That's when I kind of like it starts shifting. It starts shifting over. Sometimes a movie can save itself, but you have to understand. Like I actually did not like the first X-Men movie when I first saw it.
I still don't.
It's taken me a long time to actually even like it, and I still have the same problems. I mean, from watching it as a critic, it's a little different than watching it just as someone watching a movie on TV.
Yeah.
So the first X-Men movie, I probably gave it about the same I gave Green Lantern. I gave it about a 5.
Yeah.
And then the first Spider-Man movie, I had issues with also. I liked it, more than Green Lantern, but I had issues with it, and I mentioned those. But that's the thing. It's just like, yeah, it has to, you know, I can separate the two things, but if I'm actually seeing a movie to review it, that's the most important thing. And I have to, you know, be true to what I'm doing and not go like, well, I'm a comic fan, so I'm going to like just, you know,
yeah,
forget the fact that there's problems just because I want it to do well. You know, I can't do that, unfortunately.
And for me, that's a really, really hard thing to separate because, like, you know, let's pick both those movies you just mentioned, both the first X-Men and the first Spider-Man movies.
Sure.
Even, you know, I can't call myself a huge comic book fan so much as I call myself a superhero fan, but I grew up reading some of these books, you know, not religiously, but I read them, and I walked in really, really, really wanting to enjoy both of those movies. My problems with both of them is I'm just not a fan of exposition. And that's what 90% of both of those movies were. And to me, it's just like, it was bouncing between those two things. Cause yeah, I really wanted to enjoy both of them because Spider-Man and the X-Men are pretty awesome, but I don't, and especially when I've been reading them for, you know, 20 years or whatever, I don't want to spend 2.5 hours and, you know, these days, what, $16 a ticket watching something I already know. So right. I mean, it's tough to make that. Make that separation.
Right. But with Green Lantern, part of the problem was that, I mean, it did have a lot of, I didn't actually use the word exposition, but it did have a lot of people talking about, like, what, you know, what's so important about this and that and the other thing. Mm. So there was a lot of exposition in there as well, which, again, I knew that stuff, but, like, watching it, you know, when I was able to, like, as I watched it, it was not like, I didn't feel that exposition was something that would actually make people who don't like the comics like them more. I felt there was something to be like, I thought they were just sounded silly the way they were explaining it.
Yeah.
The movie, so.
And, you know, I'm not, you know, 100% against exposition because I love Batman Begins, and it was hugely expositional, but, you know, I don't know, just something about the way that movie was made, I enjoyed it more. All right, now, okay, you said that you've read through some of these comments, the posts and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I said to you in an email, and I can't recall if I've ever said it on the show before, but something that just irritates me about people that post on any topic out there, first off. And I don't know if you read any of your posts, but you wrote that quick article about that Captain America Shield thing, that Shield video.
Right, right, huh?
Yeah, and I saw, I don't know why, but for some reason I decided to look at the comments on that. And like the first guy said something really stupid. And then like the next couple of pages were people attacking that guy. And it turned into a flame war that has nothing to do with the article or with the, with the content, because the guy said that, like, you know, oh, come on, Chris Evans, you're an actor, you're not really Captain America. And I think that I think that he's talking about that point where he said, Chris Evans in the video said that it was kind of cool to hold the shield. It's like, oh, cool, I'm Captain America. And then, you know, you had several pages of people, you know, of the first guy is an idiot because, you know, blah, 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 blah. But
right, right.
What's up with that?
That's the internet. That's the internet. It's always been like that. It's like, I've been on the internet since like 94, and it's always been like that. It never changes. You just have different people basically doing the exact same thing.
But why? What's up with the de-evolution? Why does a article about a Green Lantern review turn into whether or not The Dark Knight is overhyped? I mean, what's up with, why does that happen like that?
Well, it's just like, I mean, people are very passionate about what they like and what they don't like. And obviously I think there's a lot more people who like The Dark Knight and appreciate The Dark Knight.
Sure.
It has the people who are critics, and a lot of times those critics are the people who kind of came in late and go like, what's all the hype about? You know what I mean? Because they've seen all this hype and see all this hype, and then they go like, well, this doesn't live up to the hype. You know what I mean? It's also one of the things that, you know, it's a little different when you're a critic. It's a little different because you're seeing a movie very early on oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make it a little more like fresh because you're seeing it without the opinion of like hundreds of other people before you.
Yeah.
So, I can see that. I mean, I can definitely see that, but you ask me why conversations devolve, or you ask me why people are going against The Dark Knight.
Well, I'm asking you why the conversations devolve. Why do we move away from the topic of the article? And on top of that, I actually completely got away from my original point, which is the thing I don't like about message boards is the anonymity that it allows to people to go in there to say some stupid pointed comment and go away and then never see any repercussions, which is right. which is why I didn't go in and which is why I don't go into these articles. And, you know, I read yours. I had my questions about it. I didn't go in there and I didn't, you know, write this stuff out on the board and then have, you know, 75 people attack me who are, you know, your fans and then the other half who are on my side and, you know, get completely away from the subject at hand. So that's why I went straight to you. But
well, it's funny because I actually prefer. I mean, one of the things I'm always hoping that the commenters would actually go like, "Why did you say this?" You know, I mean, if someone asked me why you said this or why you said that, I'd be the first person to answer. But usually, it's not even that. It's usually like, you know, usually it's people who haven't seen the movie who go like, "Oh, well, this person must be stupid or a fanboy or blah blah blah."
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I love answering questions. If someone posted questions in the comment section for my reviews, I would give an honest answer there. That's the thing. I'm all about that. So.
And for me, I don't know that a public forum is a place to do that because of the fact that, you know, you're going to have people that aren't asked the question answering it for you, and then it's gonna then once again more of that de-evolution takes place,
right?
And then and that's irritating. So that's why I like to go straight to the source, and that's why I try to stay away from message boards, you know, because I'm lucky enough that I've decided I'm going to do my podcast and I have my place where I can, you know, I can put in my two cents and, you know, I can, you know, stand out in a message board, so to speak, because I have a site. I'm not, you know, part of a flash program on Superhero Hyper coming soon.net.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, in that article, or rather in the comments of that, because I did end up reading them because you said I maybe ought to. And so I did. Yeah, you got accused of lots of stuff. I mean, first off, let's ask a question. Are you really 14?
No, I'm not. Obviously, middle-aged man. So,
yeah, you got accused of being a teenager, and I didn't quite get that, but whatever. You got called a fanboy, and
that is true. Like, I admitted that, literally admitted that in the very first sentence of my review, right?
Yeah, you did. And my next question about that would be, you know, and the problem with that is, and I don't care if it's your review or Roger Ebert or Armin White. But the comments always go to just attacking the credibility of of criticizing a movie in general. And thoughts on that, man? I mean, it's just
it's really interesting because listen, I'm not writing my reviews as someone like this is the I never write my reviews saying this is the be all end all. This is the only opinion that matters. I have never come at a review from that point at all.
Yeah,
I am just looking at what I see on screen. And relaying back what I feel was good or bad, what could have been different, changed. I mean, that's where I come from. I'm not like if someone really loves Green Lantern, I'm not going to bash them and say,
sure,
no, you're wrong, it sucked. I see the problems. Maybe someone else can gloss them over. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Well, why do people try to discredit you?
Yeah.
You're doing a job for a website. You know, you go and you actually put effort into this and a lot more than what's visible. I mean, first off, yeah, you got to type it up and you got to edit and all that good stuff. But let's not forget the fact that, you know, you've read these comic books, you've seen other movies. And why is it that people just want to automatically discredit?
Well, I think
critics in general.
Yeah, well, I think it's probably for the same reason that you were kind of, you know, why you kind of, this kind of jumped out at you is because you were looking forward to the movie. And people, you know, you see these, you know, you're used to, like, marketing and all these other things which look so good, and you get really excited for a movie, and you kind of, like, can't wait to go see the movie opening weekend, and you want to see it in the theater, and you want to just enjoy the experience and hope it lives up to what your expectations. And I think when as soon as someone says, well, you know what? Maybe you should lower your expectations a little bit. It's automatically like you automatically get defensive it is something you expect, you know. And I have a friend of mine, by the way, who literally does not watch trailers, does not watch commercials.
Mm-hmm.
He has literally stopped, you know, watching anything for a movie he wants to see. He'll just stop watching or reading anything about it.
Sure,
because he wants
media
to go.
Total media blackout. I got a friend that does that too.
Absolutely. I mean, he'll sit in the theater with his covering his eyes and his ears while the trailers are playing, avoid that. And you know what? It's kind of interesting because I mean, I like seeing movies without expectations as well. I like, you know, and it's kind of hard in my business, of course, to do that because I have to write about stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's the key thing. I think it's the point of like having these expectations, and then 3 days before a movie opens, someone saying, well, you know what? Maybe it's not all that. And then, of course, and the thing is, like, it's not like I was alone on this. I'm not like the only one. You know what?
Far from it. You're reviewing it higher than a lot of people.
Yeah, and I'm actually, and the thing is, I like to think that at least that, I mean, I don't know all critics, but I do know enough critics to know that maybe, I'd say maybe 6%, maybe 7% are actually comic book readers who read the comic books, know the character,
sure,
you know, are coming from that angle, which is something which I do bring to this, that I do at least know what I'm talking about when it comes to the character. I'm not like, you know,
mm-hmm.
So.
And that's entirely something that why that you're like a good writer for like Superhero Hype or Coming Soon or something, because you can bring that, because and I don't know your opinions or whatever of Roger Ebert, but he is, you know, first off, he's legendary whether you like him or not, and he's he's always very quick to say, you know, no, I don't read comic books, or I don't do this, or I don't do that, and so therefore, you know, he's. And I hate misquoting him, because it was a great quote I read by him, and I don't remember it exactly, but he says that, you know, at some point when you're reviewing a movie, you have to strip away all that nonsense and look at it, you know, purely for what it is.
Right.
You know, okay. You know, yeah. And I first of all, I don't get it why that isn't natural to everybody, that, yeah, really looking forward to the Green Lantern movie because I love the comic books, but when it comes down to it, it's the Green Lantern movie. It's not the Green Lantern comic book, so you have to look at it by itself. And
right.
People cannot make that disassociation. And I feel sorry for him, because, you know, you're going to live in a world of misery like that, because it's two completely different formats.
Well, yes and no. I mean, yes and no, because the thing is, I mean, especially with Green Lantern, which literally had Jeff Johns involved as a producer. He's involved from the very get-go.
Yeah.
So you have, and the thing is, Marvel are doing, I mean, it is a separate entity. I mean, they do have differences between Thor comics and the movie. I mean, they are creating a movie world, a different world.
Yeah.
But they do know what works in the comic books, and they're not like getting so far away from what works in the comic books that the people who read the comic books are, you know. And the thing is, I personally have liked, you know, I mean, I've liked all three movies they've done so far, and I feel like
Marvel,
because I feel like as someone who reads comics, I mean, they give me what I want. As someone who likes movies, they give me a decent movie experience.
Sure.
So I'm very, you know, I feel like if they can do it, why can't DC? Warner Brothers.
And you know, it's something that you've brought up before, and we've been saying a long time, is it just really seems like DC's had a lot hanging with Green Lantern.
And, oh, absolutely.
And what I think is funny about it is, you know, they're saying, well, you know, this is going to answer that question. And at this point, I don't think it does, because this isn't killing them, but it's also not going to particularly help them. It's not shooting them into the stratosphere. I mean, now they're kind of limping along like they always were, maybe with a little bit more pep in their step, because, I mean, you know, bad things about it or not, this movie was not like Jonah Hex. I mean, it's, right. You know, much, much better than that.
I mean, let's look at it. I mean, $53 million for a movie based on a character who, other than comics, was in some cartoons.
Yeah.
And it's even a different incarnation. But, there's never, other than the recent animated DVDs, I mean, there have not been a lot. I mean, Green Lantern's not been out there. There's never been a Green Lantern TV show. There's never been a Green Lantern feature film. I mean, so $52 million for this character is pretty decent. I mean, again, it's lower than Thor, but, you know, it's like not. It's only $3 million less than X-Men, and X-Men had, you know, it was a huge franchise too. So,
and X-Men did better than I expected it to. But I don't know. Do you have any final thoughts on trying to help people calm down when it comes to attacking a review before they've even seen the movie? Because I didn't. I think I read your review like 2 or 3 hours before I saw the movie or something like that. And then, you know, I went in, you know, and I had those questions, and actually I had some of those questions that got answered for me.
Okay.
You know, I your review gave me questions that I walked into the movie with, and, you know, some of them got answered. And then I ended up walking out, you know, with my own opinion and more just kind of questions about, you know, why you felt the way that you did.
But if you're asking how can people calm down and not get so worked up over, well, this is the thing though, if you're going to go see a movie anyway, you don't need to read a review.
Right.
The point of review is for the people who are not sure if the movie is for them or something they might want to see. And that, hopefully that's the point, is they can read and say, well, yes, I'm a Green Lantern fan, will I be happy? Well, here's a Green Lantern fan who's not happy. I also think that even if I give a bad review to something, if you really want to see the movie, go see the movie. I definitely don't want to hurt you know, a movie like this, which has potential for, you know, a sequel, or, I mean, I'm looking forward to a Flash movie more than anything. So,
oh, sure.
I've been waiting for a Flash movie for probably most of my life. And it's like, you know, it relies on this movie doing well. So, like, I feel that, you know what, you can get really mad at my review, or you can, you know, either ignore it, go see the movie and then read it afterwards, or read what I say, go see the movie, form your own opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, the only, you know, even if, you know, getting mad is one thing, but, like, if you go see the movie and disagree, then come back and say, well, I thought you were wrong because this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do what you're doing, basically. You know, it's like, dude, come back and disagree after you've seen the movie. To get worked up over it because I've completely crushed your expectations or lowered your expectations is kind of just silly, and it's just, you know, I mean, it's basically the kind of behavior of a 14-year-old, which they accuse me of being, so.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. I read that, and I knew right away, because of some of the stuff that you dropped, you know, like talking about, you know, Secret Origins and Geoff Johns. Most 14-year-olds aren't going to know who that is, but,
I hope they do, actually, because I think I like 14-year-olds.
Oh, no, yeah. You're right. I hope they do, too. But
I want 14-year-olds who see this. I want like, the 12-year-olds who see this movie to go out and buy a Green Lantern comic.
Hopefully, that'd be great.
Hopefully not the more, they've been kind of violent lately, so hopefully some of the more tamer ones, I guess, but still.
Sure.
Yeah, I hope that everyone who goes see this movie, who even remotely likes it, will go pick up a comic book, because that's the point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can never look at a review, even in terms of whether I agree with it or disagree with it. It's just like, you know, yeah, you know, we have Edward here saying this, and we have, you know, Roger Ebert saying that, Armand White saying this, and, you know, and I just think it's all a different point of view, even.
Right.
I mean, it's not the end all be all, and I just don't get why people don't understand that, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, because, you know, it's there's a lot of vitriol and hatred over something as, you know, I mean, it's a service. Movie criticism is a service, because, you know, there are definitely times when there's movies that I'm completely on the fence about, and I'll read a review and I won't go see it. But, you know, but absolutely, I don't care if Geoff Johns himself came out and said, this movie sucks, don't go see it. I would not have stopped me from seeing it.
Right. Exactly.
It's just unfortunate, the people. I mean, what's unfortunate about it is that, you know, you're right, the people have a lot of passion for this kind of stuff, and it just sucks that something so negative comes out of something so positive, if you get my meaning.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess that's going to answer my questions for you, Edward. Do you have any closing thoughts at all?
No, just thanks for contacting me. I mean, I generally prefer my reviews to speak for themselves, and hopefully they do, and, you know, but if someone really had questions, I mean, I'm fine elaborating or telling them where I kind of came from. I just, like, you know, again, I prefer reviews to stand for themselves usually and not have to explain everything. But I do appreciate you reaching out, because it is something which, you know, there obviously were enough people who disagreed with me, you know, without seeing the movie, that, you know, maybe they'll do this and know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and that's just it, is because I definitely now realize that you're not telling anybody that do not see this movie, but it's just your point of view, and you just kind of like getting it out there. And I think that's what everybody's trying to do,
right, is
they're just trying to get their point of view out there. Well, sure. But ultimately, yeah, I enjoyed Green Lantern. It was not the best movie ever made. Wasn't the worst movie ever made. It strikes me as a movie that I would enjoy less a second time through, because, you know, I already have some of that information that I got from watching it a first time, and it's just gonna be boring to me. But I'll definitely pick it up on Blu-ray or DVD when it comes out. I mean, that won't harm me at all. And I would say that people ought to check it out. I don't know that they need to rush out right this minute and spend, you know, $16-18 a ticket or whatever it's costing and see it in 3D and all of its gloriousness and stuff like that. But I enjoyed it, and I actually enjoyed your review as well, because, yeah, I'm a curious person, and I like questions, and it gave me questions to ask. So I guess thank you for that, and thank you for being a critic, and thank you for taking all the crap that you do, because you do. I mean, you say something in a, you know, a fairly public place, like, you know, either of these websites, and you're going to get attacked, and it's just you doing something that was being asked of you. I mean, you're performing a service. It's a job.
Yeah, you believe me, when you do this for long enough, you get a pretty thick skin, and I've kind of gotten, you know, I started, I've got, I've, you're going to grow a pretty thick skin. But like, I don't grow a thick enough skin that I kind of ignore. I mean, yeah. I don't believe that like I have to rise above it or anything like that. I mean,
sure.
People have their opinion. I mean, we have those comments. You know, we have those comment sections so they can say what they want to say.
Yep.
It's there. I don't have to respond. It just, you know, or listen to it or whatever. So
if people want to check out your reviews, where's the best place to do that?
Well, I'm a page in Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, my reviews are kind of like, you know, I mean, I do them that are coming soon. You can read them there in the review section. I mean, also the Weekly Column, the Weekend Warrior, where I also write reviews of, you know, some of the more limited release movies, which
sure.
which I like, which I'm actually on my kind of my favorite things in some ways. But sure. Yeah, no, they're out there. Rotten Tomatoes coming soon, or the Weekend Warrior column.
Thank you very much for coming on the show today, Edward. And it's been educational because I've always just wanted to pick the brain of a film critic, and now I've gotten to. So thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Aaron. I appreciate it. If you have any questions, feel free to email me or whatever.